It's the WNKY South Central Kentucky Weather Weekly with WNKY TV meteorologists Cody Bailey and Christy Stewart.
Thank you, Kirk, and welcome into episode number 49 of WNKY Weather Weekly. This week's episode is being recorded on a Wednesday, September 18th, 2019, valid for Thursday the 19th all the way through Thursday the 26th. I'm meteorologist Cody Bailey.
And I'm meteorologist Christy Stewart.
So again, welcome into episode 49. That means next week's the big week.
Yes.
And I know we took a couple weeks off. I mentioned to you right before we started recording, I think we are right at or just a few days away from the 1 year anniversary.
How exciting.
So does it feel like 1 year?
No, and, it doesn't.
Still feels like it's pretty new some weeks too. So
yeah.
Man, this year's flown by.
It has.
The month has flown by already.
I know, we're already talking about the
last full week of September.
Yeah, the end of September is already here.
This is crazy.
I mean, my birthday was the first, and to me, in my mind, I'm like, oh, that was like 2 weeks ago, maybe. But no, it was a little bit further than that.
So this week's episode will take us into the first day of fall.
Yeah.
It will take us again into the last full week of September. And, wow, it's just crazy. Yes. I feel like, I think I mentioned a few episodes ago that, you know, the station events that we have, we kind of get those scheduled way out in advance. So that, I think, makes time go even faster, at least in the news world, where you're already thinking about stuff in October and November, yeah. And then it's like, oh.
And I feel like this time of year, especially the past few weeks, we've really had a lot of events every weekend, and then we really have, I guess we have a few weeks where there's not a lot of events going on, but then once we get towards the middle of October, then you've got a few more coming up. Well, I guess the end of September, we've still got the International Fest that's coming up.
That's true. So yep, that's coming up.
I guess, all right, I guess going through the rest of this year, we probably have a lot of events that's going to make things go by faster.
Yeah.
And I feel like especially once you get towards Halloween and you have those back-to-back holidays.
Everything just, from there on to the end of the year, I think just really flies on by. So, man, we'll be scooting along just fine, I think, after we get through a... It'll be New Year's in no time. But I don't want to rush. I want to enjoy what we have now.
Well, some people might want to rush it if they're tired of the heat.
Yeah, that's true. That's I feel so bad. I don't have any answers, really. It's we kind of joked even about today's episode because there's still, like, relevant information to talk about, but at least the main bullet points today are just like the main bullet points of probably the last two or three episodes where it's hot, it's dry, and we'll give you an update on the tropics, too, because... It is still kind of that peak time of the hurricane season in the Atlantic, and while we aren't really seeing much of an effect of any remnants, we are seeing quite the active stretch going through the tropics and the Atlantic hurricane season. Also, the Pacific, I think, has been pretty active lately, too. So
I saw a map the other day, and it was like... six or seven named storms up there, and I was like, oh, everything's just popping up at once.
Everything is just, well, it's the peak for sure, just by looking at those maps. So we'll give you kind of the what has become the new normal, at least lately, for WNKY Weather Weekly. But I know our traditional weekly reminders, if you have any weather questions, feel free to share those with us at weather@WNKY.com. That's the email address. Again, that goes to myself, Christy, and Scott Burchett, who... Well, hopefully he'll be joining us next week.
Yeah, you know, he was supposed
to be
here.
He's been a busy bee lately.
I know. He's supposed to be here this week, but he's got to run and do some stories. So maybe, I'm hoping, the big 50.
It's the golden one.
Yeah. He's got to at least stop by for a few words.
A few seconds, yeah. Maybe just a hi-bye situation just to get his appearance. Weather at WNKY.com for those weather questions. We always enjoy weather questions. I know, I'm not sure if we mentioned it last week or not, but at the Walked In the Alzheimer's, I know there's a, we had on Twitter, our WNKY Twitter page, of one of our viewers who talked to us, and I didn't make the connection that she was one of our questions a few weeks back that we thought was maybe not directly to the podcast, but she mentioned that. I've emailed you guys a couple times about, you know, what's the weather going to be like this time on this day. And I was like, oh, that was you. Well, nice to actually meet you. But it's funny because we've actually met her before in person. I think I met her once or twice before. And she told us that was her question, too. But I think it was kind of inadvertent. It wasn't directly related to the podcast. But so it goes to show that your questions may be answered if you just send those. So
yes.
That's weather at WNKY.com. Same address for the dog walkers forecast photos as well.
Yes, which I still need more photos. Yep. And we did get one not that long ago.
Yes, I remember
so
that.
So I don't know if that came from the podcast, if it came from Bark for Life, because that happened over the weekend and I posted about that, did a little shameless plug.
A little cross-promotion there.
Yeah, so I don't know where that one came from, but hey, I know we've still got lots of listeners that going to be having some dogs that they can send some photos of.
Everybody, I mean, you post it on Facebook anyway, right? So yeah. Why not go ahead and email it to you?
Exactly.
And then again, also like last week, maybe we have some fundraising gaming friends listening too, just trying to reach all my platforms, TV, radio, and podcasting too. But our fundraiser is actually by next week's episode will be the week of. So getting close to October 6th. Our Madden tournament, just $10 to enter. Again, as I mentioned the last couple weeks, that entire $10 donation will go directly to Real Men Wear Pink. And, of course, it's going to be a fun day as well. I'm awful at Madden. I enjoy it, but I'm not very good. But I'm going to play. So if you're interested, you want to help out a great cause and also win some awesome prizes. We've got copies of Madden 20 to give away. We've got a game-worn jersey from the Bowling Green Hot Rods, as well as a luxury suite for a home game next season. I mentioned last week, that suite holds up to 18 people, so you'll get up to 18 tickets for a Hot Rods home game next season. So
that's pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome. And I know for a fact those can go anywhere from as low as like $400 to as high as like $850. And you can win that just by donating $10. So quite the deal, quite the steal if you just donate that. So again, just email me a different address though, Cody@WNKY.com, to submit your payment and to enter into the tournament. So myself, a shameless plug as well. But I wanted to throw that out there before we got into the bulk of our podcast this week. As I mentioned, it's kind of a new week, but the same old really with the pattern, the situation, and the outlook ahead. But we have some updates to the current situation that we'll go over today too. And as I mentioned, the first day of fall coming up, we'll have some fun facts about that or the details on the equinox as we get closer and closer to the actual fall season.
Yes.
Not so much the fall temperatures, but a lot to discuss today, same as last couple weeks, but as I mentioned, kind of some updates. So I know you had some graphics pulled up there. Not sure
what we
discussed first, because there's so many, again, the same. But you know, each week it's the same topic, different situation. So the tropics are acting up. It's, you know, I mentioned that the tropics aren't really going to affect us, but the reason they aren't affecting us is because of what is affecting us. It's that kind of that pesky high pressure system that's just really deflecting any system away from the U.S.
Yeah, it's been very pesky. That
oh
is the
gosh.
Correct word for it.
Yeah.
It has been just sitting there for like, 2 weeks now?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It's been ridiculous. And it's just not budging.
No, yeah. It's, now, I'm being cautiously optimistic by saying this, because it was a similar pattern in the modeling a couple weeks ago, where some of the models showed the high pressure breaking down by like 6 or 7 days, and then allowing for cooler temperatures and also allowing for more rain chances. And then lo and behold, as we got closer to that time frame, the models reverted back, the high pressure was strengthening, didn't break down at all, and we stayed the 90s. So that is a pattern that is showing up now in the modeling. So again, I'm optimistic, but I'm also being cautiously optimistic, because we've been here before, and that's why we are still, I guess, what could almost be week three of hot, and thankfully it hasn't been very humid, though. That's the one thing that we've kind of transitioned closer to fall. We're not dealing with a lot of the intense, oppressive humidity. So
yeah.
It has been a little bit of a drier heat outside. That's also a big reason why our temperatures have been able to honestly have some pretty big swings, like mid to upper 90s for highs and still in the mid 60s for lows. That's a pretty big swing, just because, you know, how we've had clear nights and low humidity at night. So the temperatures drop pretty quickly and easily. But even those mid 60s are above average too. So
yes.
Pretty much every sense of the forecast is not fall.
Right, and it's pretty funny, because every day I'll go through and see what the official temperature was for the high and low for the previous day, and then I keep noticing, like, every couple days the actual average mm-hmm. will keep dropping
yeah.
a degree, But our forecast is not dropping any degrees.
Yeah, so the lower the average gets, the more, I guess, impressive our temperatures become. Because, like you said, you know, it gets, on average, climatically cooler every day. But our temperatures are really not budging. So each day that the average drops, the temperature stays the same. That difference gets wider and wider. So now we've been at the point where we've been at times 10 to even 15 degrees above average, because our lows are falling into that pretty close to the 80-degree mark right on the dot for this time of the year. Same situation for our sunrise-sunset times, too. The sunset, kind of like you mentioned there, with the average going down about a degree every day, it seems like there have been even times this month that the sunset time will go down 2 minutes a day. And I know I've noticed it on the SkyCam. We do the SkyCam before the break in our 6 o'clock newscast, and that's about the time that the descent is really picking up. You know, it was closer to 7, so it was still kind of high in the sky. Now the sun by that commercial break, I think, is about 6:15. And by that point, it's like dead center on the between the top of the camera and the horizon. And so it's gonna be another thing that
I know. I just saw the sunset yesterday, and it was like 7 something, and I was like, wow, okay.
It's been deceiving because it's been so fast. Like, I'm used to going outside after the show about 7 o'clock, and you're still being bright sunshine out. It's completely dark. And
yeah.
Man.
And then I do have to say that I do enjoy it a little bit, because in the mornings now I can show the sunrise on the SkyCam again.
Yeah.
I have missed that, but personally not too happy about losing daylight. It looks like every day we're losing about like 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's dropping fast. And then, you know, the next few weeks we'll be talking about falling back. I think it's the first Sunday of November, so we're close to the one-month mark to lose an hour. And, or I guess gain an hour of sleep, but, you know, sunset, sunrise.
Yeah, that's right. That's one that I don't mind.
I do like that.
You can gain
it. It is weird that very first day, because you notice, like, even at noon, I feel like at noon, you know, the sun feels like it's kind of going in the other half of the sky, like...
Yeah.
But it's still early in the day, and then, you know, obviously by 4 or 5 o'clock, you're like, oh man, it's like sunset time.
It does make it easier for my schedule to go to bed
when it's dark early. When I do mornings, I didn't mind that at all. Not only did I gain an hour of sleep, I also didn't have to deal with the sun late evening. So.
And then if you happen to stay up late, by late I mean like 7, 8 o'clock at night. But if you happen to stay up late, then it's like, you know, you get a couple hours of nighttime, and it makes you feel like a normal person again.
Yeah, the best of both worlds.
Yeah, exactly.
But so that's, again, the sign of the times. With that first day of fall, as the day on Monday the 23rd, the exact time, I think it's like 2:50 something in the morning.
Yes, it is actually 2:50 a.m. on the dot.
So if you are celebrating, you're going to have either a late night or an early morning, but you could just sleep as normal and just celebrate that Monday.
Yeah.
First day of fall.
There you go.
Doesn't feel like fall, though. We'll get to that full forecast later, but a big issue that we've been dealing with, not just the heat, but the dry conditions as well. And I will also be cautious on this as well, because it's kind of still changing pretty quickly. But as of this recording of the podcast, I think most, I'm not sure if all of our viewing area counties are in one, but a lot of counties here in Southern Kentucky are implementing burn bans because we are so dry. Another thing that I'll be not super specific, because it's a time-sensitive issue, but every week the U.S. Drought Monitor comes out on a Thursday, so obviously that's the same day that our podcast is released, so we won't, as of now, obviously recording on a Wednesday, have the latest outlook available, but with no rain really in the last week, I would expect most, if not all, of Southern Kentucky to at least be included in that low category of a dry, abnormally dry conditions, maybe even that moderate drought area. Shifting further south. I think right now it comes up to about Grayson County to the north. So again, really we haven't seen much, if any, rain in the last week. So I think it's a safe bet to say that most of us, if not all of us, will at least be dry. I think that moderate drought area will be shifting further south. So again, a lot, most, if not all already, of our small viewing area counties are under that burn ban. I know Warren was kind of one of the later ones to add.
Yes.
And Allen County, I think, did issue one too, but they did see quite a bit of rain last week when we saw just a trace of rain at the airport in Bowling Green, that was when that lifted up from the south, and it was very heavy and a lot of rain in the Scottsville area. But obviously that one day, that one event, not enough to put a dent in to the deficit, also not right. enough to end that drought. It's one of those situations. Thankfully, it's not too significant right now, but if it continues to be worse, you know, it's going to take more than just one day, more than just one event. You're going to need kind of that mm-hmm. day's worth of soaking rains. And you don't want flooding either. Flooding's right. not going to accomplish anything.
And it's kind of hard to tell when yeah. that would happen, because that kind of goes into a question that I had a little earlier today, mm-hmm. which is, when can we expect the drought to end? Like, is there a certain amount of rain that we need yeah. to make it end? And it's really just variable based on when we see rain, how much rain we see, to help determine when we would end the drought. Like, there's not a specific number mm-hmm. that would tell us, yes, this, once we reach this amount of rainfall, then that's when the drought's going to end. So that is kind of hard, but it seems like it's impactful in a way, but not too impactful right now. I heard for the farmers that already got their crops in, then those crops mm-hmm. should still be okay. But farmers that have not planted yet, then that's where they'll be looking at hurting and losing some of yeah. that crop yield that they would normally have.
And I get the sense that it depends on the crop too, because I've heard some yes. places saying that, you know, some crops fine, like you mentioned, you know, no issues there. I want to say I've heard talks of soybeans being really affected by the drought.
I'm
not sure.
I could
if
see
any
that.
Farmers are listening.
Yeah,
I'm
trying to think back. My grandpa farms soybeans, but that's in Minnesota, so that's already a whole different drier climate. They don't really have the humidity and stuff.
I do know
here,
not long after the planting season, when they were starting to grow, I did have someone say that the dry conditions were hurt. You know, he said if we don't get rain soon,
right.
the soybeans would be lost. That was, you know, the beginning of the planting season.
Mm-hmm.
We've had plenty of rain since then, but the recent time, not sure what all is out there. Of course, we're close to harvest time too. That'll probably for a lot of people come next month, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's.
I mean, I'm sure
it's tough for some of the crops. At
yeah,
least.
I'm sure some of them are probably thriving in a little bit drier weather that we've mm-hmm. been having, and I'm sure that some of them are not as happy.
Yeah.
Earlier today, my grandma was just sending me pictures. Again, they're in Minnesota, so they've had different mm-hmm. weather than we have. But it was pretty interesting to see her crop yield of what they've had so far. So they've had, their peppers were doing awesome this year. Mm-hmm. They had great looking peppers, but then their watermelons were pretty small. Their watermelons were not very big. I'd say maybe like the size of a cantaloupe. So mm-hmm. pretty small.
Yeah.
They were suffering a little bit. And then her tomatoes, she said those were, it was a too wet of a season for her tomatoes. So maybe the drier weather for tomatoes out here would be better for that crop yield. But she said, yeah, it was too wet of a year for the tomatoes. So then the bugs would get into the tomatoes before they would be fully ripe for you to pick them. And then they weren't very good, obviously, for people to eat once they have
yeah.
bugs in them. But she has ducks, and she says that the ducks love the tomatoes, so at least they're not going to waste. I guess somebody's happy.
Yes, somebody's getting them.
Yeah.
And ironically, obviously, this was scheduled way before this began, but this week we had the drought conference, I know,
mm-hmm.
Discussing the drought monitor. A lot of different climatologists, WKU, Climate Department, Kentucky Mesonet was the big presenter there, talking about, you know, drought conditions and the drought monitor, but obviously the current conditions were a big focus on the presentation there. And the big thing that came out of that is that they are saying, you know, we are in the early stages, most of Kentucky actually, in the early stages of a drought. Right now,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're in that drought outlook, but I wouldn't classify it as a drought
right.
already. But they were watching, you know, and I was, you know, we had a kind of a mini discussion before we started recording, and just thinking of it here within the last couple of minutes, I'm wondering, because my question was, what's the, you know, we mentioned before, our job's really the next 7 to maybe 10 days of forecasting. The drought monitor would deal with a lot of current conditions, obviously, but obviously they're also going to give
mm-hmm.
kind of a long-range outlook, so it's more of a climatology thing. So my question was, what are they looking at down the road that suggests this is the early stages of a drought? Because that tells me, that wording, is that if we're not in a drought now, we're early stages of a drought. They expect the conditions to continue.
Right.
So my question is what they're looking at. And I'm wondering, You know, this is kind of the time of year that we also, we're not completely dry. Like, you know, snow takes, I feel like, a lot to soak the ground and battle dry air, of course, too. So that's harder to, at least in the beginning of winter. But even in the fall season, that's, you know, we still get systems coming through to bring decent rain. It's a little bit more widespread than the summer pop-up. So maybe the outlook, considering that we are still in a time of year where we typically get some beneficial rains and we're not because of the system that we have right now with the high pressure. So
could be, yeah.
So I know either this time last year or the year before where we had some tropical remnants moving through. And that, to go back to the question about a drought, getting out of a drought, those are the type of things that you want and that you need to get out of a drought, is something more like a tropical system, because it's going to have a lot of moisture, it's going to bring a lot of rain, and they typically move fairly slow over the area. So it's kind of at least a couple days worth of that persistent heavy rain. So that's something we would need, but we're not getting that right now. So that could play into the outlook too.
Yeah, obviously extremely dry. I think it's been almost a month now that we've actually had measurable precipitation.
Yeah.
I remember at the end of August, I can't remember if it was August 27th is the number that's coming
I
to my head.
So.
That we had
it was
that record-breaking rain.
Went out with a bang.
And then we've been dry since then.
It was like we're just gonna rain like crazy, and then we're good for a while. But yeah, the only thing we've had this month has been that trace that was a little over a week and a half ago now, I think. And that's all. You know, we update that calendar on our graphics that we show from time to time, and it just looks so weird to see that one trace day surrounded by dry day. Like, it just looks so crazy, especially for, you know, we've had wet patterns a lot of times this year. I know the joke last month, we've got someone here who's always goes out to the trek at the track, and that's a Tuesday, and we joked that it was every Tuesday of August there was at least a little bit of rain, and then just, I mean, completely flipped the script for the month of September. So yeah, the only thing on record shows a trace, which is not a number, so that's not measurable precipitation.
Like nothing really.
And so to kind of go into what I've talked about a couple days this week, just at the pace, depending on what happens over the next, you know, we have small chances of rain, at least as of now, but we are on pace with just that trace in the rain gauge, even using that loosely, because that is, I think, pretty much just enough to coat the ground.
Right.
Not enough to cause any puddles or anything.
Right.
That would go down as the driest September on record. I think it's probably a safe bet, unless we get one of those crazy days again where, you know, a storm just kind of sits over us. I'd say it's a safe bet, even if we see a little bit of rain, that we could still end in the top 10 of driest Septembers. But again, that's going to be, we still have the second half of the month to go, and a couple rain chances in the short, or the shorter range, I guess, forecast. A little too far out to see how the end of the month will shape up. But temperature-wise, as we mentioned, I think the pace, we're not as hot this week as what we were, but we are also on pace for temperatures to end as one of, if not the hottest September on record for Bowling Green, too. And, you know, our temperatures are kind of gradually going a couple degrees down by the 7-day forecast. But to go back to the point that you made earlier about, so were the averages. The averages are going out. So that spacing is kind of the same. So I think that pace is enough to keep us probably in the top 10 for warmest Septembers. Because as it stands right now, I think we were at the pace near number one.
Yeah, we at the pace currently sitting at number one. I just pulled up the graphic that you had made. So as far as warmest Septembers, as of this recording, anyways, our average is 79.3 degrees, which would put us at number one. So currently, what technically holds the number one spot is 79.2 degrees back in 1925.
Right.
And all of these dates are actually a long time ago that we had a very warm September. So in second place, it's 1939, 1931, 1921, 1911 for the top five. Which is crazy that it's been so long, but here we are.
I can't remember what month it was. It was fairly recent, but there were so many that were in this decade of, like, warmest.
Yeah.
I can't remember what month it was. It's been a few months, maybe, but...
Yeah.
And even some precipitation, too. You know, we've had wettest several times since like 2010. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I noticed that too when I was making that up and looking at the data, and I was like, man, there's like nothing really recent. I think maybe 98, something. That was one of the more recent ones. There may have been a 2000 something.
There's a 98. There are no 2000s in the top 10.
So September, at least lately, has been, I guess.
Yeah, September 98 would have been in recent history, and that holds the number 9 spot for warmest Septembers.
Wow.
So, yeah, and then even going back to the driest Septembers, well, I guess I didn't see this one. 2014. So that wasn't too terribly long ago.
Okay.
That holds the number 5 spot for the driest Septembers. Before that, it would have been 2005, which holds the number 7 spot. And then after that, it was a really long time ago. We even have an 1800 in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that date, obviously.
Right.
I remember typing that, I should say.
Yeah. Well, you definitely weren't alive then.
I was not alive, no.
If you do, you have to tell us all your secrets.
Yeah. It's Dr. Pepper, like the old ladies say.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. But that is very interesting that warmest and driest September, currently we are both at that number 1 spot. But again, there's still a couple weeks left of September, so that could change. And it looks like these numbers aren't too terribly far apart from each other. So, like you said, if we do get, you know, one of those heavier downpours, then that could set us still probably in the top 10. Yeah. But further down the list.
And that would be one of those situations where on the almanac for the day or for the month, that might make up the deficit for September. Mm-hmm. But even if we had a downpour like a couple of inches like we had at the end of August, that again would not be something that would get rid of this drought. That would just
right.
be really more of a nuisance and a flash flooding event, mm-hmm. not really anything, because the ground wouldn't really be able to take up a lot of that precipitation if it just rushing away.
Now, one thing that I've heard has surprised a lot of people is that for the year, it's actually been a pretty decently wet year, I would say.
Yeah.
We have technically throughout the whole year, I think it was like 7.33 inches above average.
Yeah, that's something like that.
So it's kind of crazy to think that, yes, we do have technically well above average for the year as far as rainfall, but we got a lot of that at the beginning of the year. So by now, the ground has used that up, and we need more rain.
And to look ahead even further, obviously we're not talking about a forecast or making a forecast long range, but you know, I remember from being in Fort Wayne, you know, that part of Indiana gets a lot of snow, and there was one year where we did get a lot of snow, and it talked about how snowpack and accumulation during the winter is important for the upcoming year, because a lot of that will go into the water table. So we also have to think about, you know, if we end up with a dry winter as well, less snow, maybe even less rain, how that could affect us going into the spring with, you know, the water table. I'm sure since we're in a drought condition right now, it's pretty low. If we get nothing in the winter or low in the winter, that's going to set the stage again starting next year, spring, you know, even thinking of planting season next year. If there's nothing really there for the plants to grab a hold of, then we could be, you know, talking about something that happens now continuing to affect us even in the beginning of next year. So the winter, you know, if the conditions stay like this for a while for the fall, the winter is going to be very crucial for what happens next year, because you know, I know nobody likes to drive in snow or ice or anything like that, but it's going to be maybe a situation where we want a little bit more precipitation in the winter, because last year was relatively quiet for really snow events too. But I guess it could be warm. It doesn't have to be snow. Just something liquid.
Rain. I'll take rain over the
rain
snow.
Rain, warm, you know.
But I do think that it is pretty funny that February was very wet. And back then we were complaining. Yeah. We were like, oh my gosh,
all
so
rain.
Much rain. Tired of the rain. And then we were talking too. We were like, well, you know, we are tired of the rain, but it could be beneficial later on. And then I think that that probably has at least prolonged us a little bit, like you were saying, with the water table. But now we've caught up and headed towards that drought condition.
Yeah, and that's another thing I mentioned to you the other day, that I think February is a big reason of why we're at a 7-inch surplus for the year, because of that. Because that was about 8.5 inches above normal, I think, for February.
Yeah.
Because, you know, February is still winter. We're still talking about snow. And man, it was like a spring month in February. But yeah, like you said, we're at the point now where I think we've probably used up most, if not all, of that surplus from February. Now we're back in a situation where well, we need some rain. And
yeah. And I'm sure as we continue throughout the rest of this month, if we don't really have a lot in terms of rain, then we're going to be obviously seeing those averages mm-hmm. dropping a little bit for that yearly average. So anyways, not climatologists, but it'll be interesting yeah. to see what happens throughout the rest of this month and really throughout the rest of this year. Hopefully, we'll see a more even pattern for some precipitation headed our way. But it doesn't look like it in the near future anyways. And then the tropics, those are pretty active right now.
Yeah.
But it looks like we probably won't see anything from that either.
Yeah. I was joking, when you're looking at the paths of a couple of storms out there, it just seems like since Dorian, every storm that's fired off out in the Atlantic has taken kind of the same path where you get close to the islands, the Bahamas, and then it just really curves right back to the northeast and then back out to sea. And that's looks like what's going to happen with what we have now as Tropical Storm Jerry. Humberto is well out to sea, still moving away, so that's not an issue. We had kind of a going from one of the longest in Dorian to possibly one of the briefest in Imelda.
It was crazy. I mean,
already
so
nothing named.
Right. So it was like not even a watch area on the map, really. And then all of a sudden, right at noon yesterday, I had it on our graphic when I was doing the weather on the broadcast, the noon show, and it was Tropical Depression 11. And then I mentioned, I was like, well, we have that one, and we have Tropical Depression 10, which is now named Jerry, off in the middle of the Atlantic. So I was like, one of these will be Imelda, one of them will be Jerry. It kind of depends. And the thought process was that this one that actually became Imelda was going to be Jerry, and the other one was going to be Imelda. But then within an hour, they named it from potential, or it was Tropical Depression 11, to Tropical Storm Imelda. And then it made landfall by the Houston area in Texas, and then it was downgraded again to a Tropical Depression Imelda now, I guess, is the technical name of it.
Yeah.
So, very fast moving to have, like, nothing to a tropical storm in an hour was pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, unfortunately, East Texas and West Louisiana, they're getting hammered pretty hard with a lot of rain.
And we will say they were expecting, you know, from a forecast standpoint, in general, really good, because they were expected for a few days to get a lot of rain in the Houston area, which obviously has happened. But they, even in the outlooks, they kept saying, you know, this unnamed system, this unnamed storm, you know, kind of not a threat, but it is going to bring a lot of moisture, not really a tropical system. And then, bam, like you said, nothing to tropical storm, back to nothing. So quite the polar opposite of what happened with Dorian, who just really took a 3-week cruise out at sea.
It was very slow.
So a lot of people were looking at what is now Jerry as becoming Imelda. That's not the case. That is Tropical Storm Jerry. It is expected to strengthen into a hurricane. And again, like a lot of the discussion with Dorian, how much, you know, the forecasts began to really favor that turn after a few days. I think confidence is high about 3 days. Mm-hmm. Once you get beyond in that 3 to 5 day range, that's where a lot of things can change in the cone. So right now, the Hurricane Center has it, much like the last couple storms, almost reaching, looks like, Hispaniola and making a close call to the Bahamas, but then looks like another sharp turn to the north and possibly back out to sea. But keep in mind, that is that uncertain kind of range, in that 3 to 5 day range. So a lot can change in that part. So we'll watch. That's kind of the same time frame that our ridge begins to break down, or at least the models show the ridge breaking down. So if that doesn't have an influence, that could maybe free up Jerry to kind of just keep on going more west, northwest, instead of due north. So again, we'll be watching that closely and see maybe, oh maybe, if we can get some help. But it's not looking like
I don't know. Yeah, right now it's not looking too likely.
There's also a couple of other areas that not named right now that the Hurricane Center is watching for maybe some development over the next few days. So we may have those to talk about next week's show.
Yeah.
Depending on how that goes.
If we do have anything developed, the next one to be named would be Karen.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working our way down the list. We're at the J names right now.
That's right. And overall, man, what a map. Very
yes.
active.
So I just pulled up the Eastern North Pacific portion of the tropics, and they have three tropical storms.
Man.
They have Kiko, Mario, and Lorena. So those are all...
within fairly close proximity
yeah,
to each other, too.
They are. that is very interesting.
Wow, yeah.
So if you are a fan of latitude, longitude, all of these tropical storms are within, it looks like it's right about that 15 north line, a little bit
yeah.
above it, about 15 to 20 north. And then the extent of it is from about, we'll say like 127 west to about like 103 west.
Yeah.
So kind of that tight little block area of
yeah.
these tropical storms. But it looks like those are probably just going to be heading out towards sea. Looks like Mario's going to be making a run a little bit more north. Kiko will be heading off to the west, and Lorena will be riding right along that coastline. And then in the Central Pacific, there are a few disturbances, nothing named yet. A couple of them have a low percent of forming within the next 5 days, but one of them has a 40%, so it's a medium chance.
Mm-hmm.
of forming. That's close out by the Hawaiian Islands. So, you know, just all around throughout the entire tropics, very active.
Yeah.
The map is peppered with activity and things that everybody is watching. But yeah, as far as the Atlantic, currently three named storms out there, could have more developed later. But like you said, it is the peak time.
Yeah.
So
and it's living up to it too, because
yeah.
both Atlantic and the Pacific are heating up right now, and again, we'll just have to kind of wait and see how things unfold with these couple of disturbances and, of course, Jerry, to see how our pattern here is in the U.S. to maybe favor some of those making a run at possibly the Gulf or even the Southeast Coast. Sometimes those eastern seaboard can get us a little bit of, if anything, cloud cover, depending on the size of the system, could give a little precipitation too. So our best bet is typically something making landfall in the Gulf, and then kind of curving up to the north over Tennessee and Kentucky. So we'll have to see.
Yeah.
Again, the pattern here lately has just been that classic ride up close to Florida, close to the Bahamas, but really just staying out to sea and turning back out to sea. So
yeah,
if that trend continues, then it's probably going to be staying fairly quiet tropically. But again, we'll be watching our more local regional system and weather pattern to see of any storm systems. Again, as I mentioned earlier in the show, it looks like maybe that ridge will begin to not just break down, but also shift to the east. What that does is that will, you know, kind of in the most basic sense, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, I think, in a large scale, most basic, high pressure, low pressure. So usually when one area moves out, it's replaced by the opposite. So you would think if the high pressure breaks down and moves away, that would be replaced by a low pressure system, which would give us a that trough of low pressure instead of being under the influence of a ridge of high pressure. So the trough, almost, depending on where it's set up, can sometimes act as like that conveyor belt almost of bringing systems down from the northwest, moving across our region, and then, you know, one after the other. Not to say that's our forecast, but if that does setup does occur, that would at least open the door for that possibility. Not a guarantee. Of course, we have to have the storm systems to move in the first place. So
right.
even if we're in a trough, that's not a guarantee that we'll see the rain. But that also opens the door for some cooler temperatures from the north as well. Just kind of think of it almost as a funnel, or like I mentioned, that conveyor belt where you get kind of that downward movement. That's also the setup in the wintertime that can give us some of those clipper systems from Canada, giving us a quick burst of snow. It's that same setup, obviously warmer because we're still in late summer, early fall. But it looks like, again, the modeling, but as I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, that was also in the modeling a week ago, and
yes.
we stayed in the 90s, and we're still
yes.
in the 90s, and that never happened.
It's funny because we were talking a couple days ago how the models have been kind of terrible recently.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the transition time of year.
Maybe.
Or just not, oh man, yeah, it's been, oh, not even like a couple degrees, it's been bad. Like, I've had to real, and I feel weird too, because it's almost like kind of forecasting blind, because like, I'm going way above the guidance, because the guidance is not good, so.
Exactly.
Just trusting recent trends, and hoping it verifies.
Exactly.
We've been, No help at all.
I think the European, at least as far as temperatures, has been pretty decent, but it hasn't been decent more than like a day or two out, because then there are times that it was like, oh, you're going to be 103 degrees. And I'm like, well, that's not going to happen.
I joke with that every summer, every year, there's one or two models that goes crazy with the triple digits.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned a couple weeks ago, it's been 7 years since we've seen the triple digits. So obviously those don't handle that heat.
Right. So, yeah, it's been kind of interesting to see that. And then as far as the other models, like the GFS and the Moss and all that stuff, they're all just, like, below average. And they've been busting recently. And it's kind of hard because also a lot of times if you wait a few days, the models will pick up on the trends that, oh, we're performing really bad.
Yeah.
And then they'll pick up on the trend. But I haven't really seen that happening. And I guess it's probably like you were saying, in part, there were all those signs that, oh, the ridge is going to break apart, but then here we still are. It's still holding strong over us. So like you said, we'll try it again with seeing if this ridge will break down this time.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Hopefully, because like you said, that'll open the door up to have some more systems, maybe getting some cooler temperatures in here finally, and seeing maybe a little bit more rainfall, maybe more typical fall-like weather. Which, real quick, before we get into the forecast, we talked a little bit about the fall, or the autumnal equinox, but just a couple more quick facts. I know that we've covered this in past episodes a little bit more in depth, but it means equal night, so we should, technically, you would think, have 12 hours of daylight, 12 hours of nighttime, but because of the curvature of the Earth, we are going to be officially on the 23rd having 12 hours and 7 minutes and 10 seconds of daylight.
Yeah. Every second counts.
Yes. So we will be having a little bit, a few extra minutes of daylight technically. So as we get a few days further past technical fall equinox, that's when we will have more of our equal day and night technically. Mm-hmm. But the fall equinox is just when the sun shines directly on the equator. So with that, you know, I know a lot of people have already been in the mindset of fall since the 1st of September, which is the meteorological start to fall. But technically, we have to wait till September 23rd this year for the official start to fall. But I don't know if it'll really even be like fall.
Yeah, it's you know, it's pretty sad when the 80s seem like fall compared to what we've been dealing with.
I know. It felt weird this week because we were saying, like, oh, it'll be a nice little cool down with temperatures in the low 90s versus the upper 90s.
Break out the flannel. It's low 90s.
Which is also crazy because I walked outside today, and I know, like you said, we've been having lower humidities. So that makes all the difference, too.
Oh, yeah.
But I walked outside, and I was like, wow, it's really comfortable. And I'm like, oh, but it's like 90 degrees outside.
And another thing, too, that, you know, not that anybody's making or is setting bonfires because it's just a little too hot, but that's, you know, a classic fall tradition that we'll probably have to wait for a lot of locations because of those burn bans that we issued too. So, because I was trying to think, I know some people in the country areas still burn trash. So I know that's a big thing. I remember a few summers growing up that there were burn bans during kind of that 4th of July time frame. So nobody could set off fireworks. Now it's kind of depressing in a way.
But it's a little depressing.
So I was trying to think, like, what could this affect now? Obviously, you know, brush fires could happen easily if you're in a dry situation with more wind, but then I was like, oh yeah, it's bonfire season.
Yeah.
Can't do that right now.
I know.
And just like the drought, there's no definite, you know, end to a drought or amount that would end a drought. Same situation with the burn ban. It's depending on drought conditions, so the burn bans are usually issued as until further notice. So I know the one for Warren County this week, they posted on Twitter saying, the public will be notified when the burn ban is lifted. So it's like, just hold on. You know, we're going to be here for maybe a little bit. So
yeah, and it looks like it might be a little bit.
Yeah, because again, even if you get a downpour on some of those rainy days, it's going to take a lot of downpours to take a dent in the deficit and also take a dent in the drought conditions too.
And I think we really need one of those setups where it's just system after system.
Yeah.
So, you know, have rain for a day, couple dry days, rain another day, couple dry days. really to help even things out. But again, we just do the short-term forecast.
Yeah.
So I guess I have bad news for you.
I'm sorry.
I know. Don't shoot the messenger. I promise we don't control the weather.
Yeah. If we did, we wouldn't be doing this.
Right.
Trust me.
Exactly. We'd at least give you a little bit of rain to not go into a drought, right?
Yeah, come on.
So depending on when you're listening to this, it looks like those temperatures will be dipping down just a little bit into those mid-80s for Friday, and then we return back close to 90 degrees in those upper 80s, maybe touching low 90s as we get towards this weekend. We do have a cold front, but it's one of those quote-unquote cold fronts. It'll be moving through on Monday. So with that, hopefully it will be holding strong enough to give us a few isolated to possibly scattered showers. But it's a little bit too early to tell because, as we've been saying, it really depends on if that ridge starts to break down. And the signs are maybe this weekend it'll start breaking down. But we'll have to wait and see. So fingers crossed that it does, because if it does, I think that cold front will be holding through for us to be able to give us a little bit more rain at least than just a couple of isolated showers, hopefully. And then behind that, it looks like we will be dry again. But temperatures should be a little bit cooler. Yeah. Temperatures a little bit cooler in the mid-80s.
So, yeah, fingers crossed.
Yes.
But in the short term, more the same.
Yes, exactly. Feel like a broken record for the last, 3 weeks. Overnight lows, we'll talk about those, too. Those are still above average. It looks like they'll be pretty much in those mid-60s. Maybe a dip in temperatures Friday night into the lower 60s. And now, averages for this time of year. So the normal high temperature, 82 degrees.
Ooh.
We are far from that.
Love that. Especially those days recently with the 97, 98.
Yeah,
that's way
a little bit far from that. Which, again, goes to show that we are seeing that warmer September.
Yep.
And then as far as the typical lows are, 58 degrees for this week.
Wow.
Again, about 10 degrees above average for that, too. So even though, you know, we're talking about, hey, you know, mid-80s might be coming, a little bit cooler, feel a little bit nicer outside, yes, but also these normals keep dropping a little bit, so those are in the upper 50s and lower 80s, and that's not in my forecast.
No, yeah. This is a little bit of an anomaly, you could say.
Yeah.
To say the least. Kind of goes hand-in-hand. I was thinking the other day, too, about, you know, it came kind of off the heels of one of the discussions we had a couple weeks ago on the podcast about those warmer seasons or warmer weather later in the season kind of extends the tourism in some places too.
Yeah.
So I wonder if any places are maybe seeing kind of a elongated trip kind
maybe
of season for some places.
I wonder also if some pools have been kept open longer.
Yeah, I wonder.
I don't know if they do that out here, but I know back at Penn State, they would have a tentative date when they would close it.
Yeah.
And then if it was still, you know, like a streak like this where it's still really hot outside, they're like, okay, we'll extend it a week. Okay, we'll extend it another week.
Yeah.
And then finally, when we had that little cold snap, they're like, all right, that's it. We're done.
Yeah. Okay. So I did see some of past a apartment complex the other day in Bowling Green, and there was a lot of people out at the pool too. So
okay.
I feel like, you know, Labor Day is kind of the traditional.
Right.
That's the last weekend we're open, but apparently, and I feel like a lot of, I've only lived at one complex that had a pool, and they followed the same guidelines, where, you know, Labor Day's last weekend, we'll close it for the season. But obviously, we're mid-September, and there's still at least some apartments here in Bowling Green still operating their pools, so.
Yeah.
Hey, why not? It's worth it.
Right, exactly.
You get visitors, so.
It's funny, because normally, when we get a little bit cooler, because I have a pool for my dog, a little kiddie pool on the back deck. And normally I would dump it out and, you know, throw it under for storage for the winter time. But, you know, I was thinking about it last weekend. I wanted to do it last weekend, but I didn't get around to it. But I was like, I should clean out her pool and actually fill it up again for her because it's getting dirty. So I do need to clean it out again. But it seems like if you have a kiddie pool or something, you can leave it out for a little while longer.
Yeah, at least the next week. So,
yeah.
Again, we'll hopefully have some more answers on potential relief, both temperatures and precipitation, by the next week's episode, which again will be number 50. So
yeah,
that golden episode coming your way next week.
Yes, and we will keep you updated throughout the week on our social media pages with those changes in weather. You can also go to our website, wnky.com, and Yeah.
I'm trying to think if that's all the...
I know.
All the platforms. There's so many.
There are. We list them every day, too, and then it's just, like, always in the back of my mind.
It's just a habit now. We're like robots. You know?
Yeah.
Just pumping out information every day.
So, speaking of robots, we got to tag it at the end, too. Weather at WNKY.com.
Yeah, that's right. Send those Dog Walkers forecast photos and your weather questions, and hopefully we'll have a whole bunch to answer for next week, episode 50.
Yes.
And hopefully Scott will be here.
Hopefully.
With us.
And hopefully you will have a lot more people that have signed up for your tournament.
Hopefully. That'll be the week leading into it. So again, Madden Tournament, Sunday, October 6th, just $10 to enter, and you could even, like I mentioned, you know, you could lose your only game that you're playing and still walk away with $100 worth of prizes. So not too bad of a day if you ask me.
Not bad.
So that's my email. I guess you can technically email weather, but that would go to me. But Cody at WNKY.com, you can register for that. So hopefully you do.
Yes.
And I'll see you then. Simple enough.
Exactly.
But I think that does it for this week's episode. Again, thanks to our friends with Woohoo 107 and everyone at Forever Communications for publishing our podcast every week. And again, this is episode 49. We'll see you back here again next week for episode 50. But until then, keep sharing this link and spreading the word about our podcast, and again, keep sending in those questions too. So I have been meteorologist Cody Bailey,
and I'm meteorologist Christy Stewart.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next Thursday for episode 50.